Well, this morning we're going to go back over. We're still on this subject. The Lord hasn't let me off of it, about being led by the Spirit. And so we're going to go back into this again. I'm going to want to share some things we were talking about last week, because we're the Bible tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And it doesn't mean that a person that doesn't know how to be led by the Spirit is not a son, but they will never live in sonship. And you need to understand that to develop. There's one thing for a child to grow up in a family. If a child never grew up really to take their place or their responsibility, even though they are a child in the family, they're never going to rise to the place where they're going to be held in esteem or anything in that family. You know, they're never going to have certain rewards in life. It's one of the things, especially, is understanding cultures. In the days that the Bible was written, the Greek culture was the major culture of the day, and the Greek culture had gotten into, the Roman Empire followed a lot about the Greek culture. And with the educational systems and everything, the Greek culture was very dominant. Under the Greek culture, really, there was an adoption ceremony for each child in the family. And it was when you came to a certain age. When they talk about adoption, it wasn't adoption adopting somebody that didn't belong to you. It dealt with adopting somebody who belonged to you. A child was adopted into the family when they came to the age of responsibility and they learned how to be responsible. And they became really a part of the family, whether the family business or whatever it was. They came to the place where they actually were responsible as an heir. Other than that, under there, you know, the Bible, that's why when in the writings, Paul said, though somebody's an heir, they have a tutor over them. In other words, if somebody dominates and rules them, they aren't in the place of sonship. And you have to understand that. When you read these writings, if you're looking at the American culture, you don't know what the Bible's saying. You have this idea that, you know, we say, well, I'm a son of God and everybody's the same. No, they're not. There are people God will do things for that He will not other children. There's things that He will give in responsibility to some that He will not give to others because they're not in a place of maturity. Like, you know, concerning the power of God, lots of times dealing with maturity, it's sort of like giving a little kid a gun, you know. You don't want to give him a real gun that's loaded and he don't know nothing about it. He'll hurt himself. And there's things that a Christian, that God could put, that Christians would like to have. If God put it in their hands, they'd kill themselves with it. You know, don't ever believe what these, you know, over the years I've heard ministers say this kind of thing. Well, and other Christians, not just ministers, God will never give you anything that you can't handle, and you can't misuse the things of God, you know, because He wouldn't give it to you if you misuse them. I want you to tell you can misuse the power of God. The anointing of God could come on your life, and it's for somebody else to minister to somebody, and you can use it up on yourself. People do that all the time. They sit in services and anointings and things come on them and they just soak it up to themselves and use it to themselves and never use it to minister to anybody. You got to learn to do it. You can misuse the anointing. You know, people say, well, you can't misuse that stuff. I don't know who ever said that, but the Bible don't teach it. You know, go look at Saul. Saul sure misused the anointing. Didn't turn out well for him. But you can misuse the things of God. That's why you got to grow up about the things of God, or the good things that come and what they're supposed to be used for, they don't get used for. And we need to be careful, because much of Christianity in America is very selfish, and what comes to us from God, people just use it up from themselves. You know, they say, well, you know, if God gives you something, you know, that you can't misuse it. You can misuse money. I've had God give me money already that was not for me. He had money come to me. It came to me, but it wasn't for me. And I knew it when it came to me. It wasn't for me. It was for me to pass on to somebody. It was to me to hand to somebody. And you have to watch that. Some people say, well, I tithed out of it. It was number one. I was supposed to give the whole thing away. I wasn't supposed to tithe. I was supposed to give the whole thing away. See, you got to get over and start to learn to listen. Not everything that comes to use for you. You have to learn that. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. You want to listen to the Spirit, because why? You want to be a blessing. You know, God's trying to move something through you. He's like, you know, Kenneth Copeland said, you know, if God can get things through you, He'll give you anything. Most people have a hard time getting things from God because of their misuse. They think everything that comes to them is for them. You know, they begrudge giving tithe. Well, if you're begrudging giving tithe, you probably ain't going to ever get much more than that if you're just begrudging giving that. But you get to the point, well, God, well, what do you want me to do with this? What's coming with this? I mean, there's things that I believe God for money specifically to give away. I don't believe it so I can just tithe, take a chunk and give some of it. I believe specific. God, I'm believing, I want to be able to give this ministry, or I want to give this person something. I want to do something. I'm going to believe you for money to give to that individual. I want to bless them. I want to do something, and I need money to do that, and so I believe money for it. And you need to learn to do that. God will pass things through you, but it's one thing if He can pay, He can get it to you, and He can pass it through you. He'll give you almost anything. And so that's one thing. It's really a strong point about Kenneth Copeland. He's learned. He'll just give something away. He things come to him, and he'll just slide them on to somebody else. You know, and he's done it in a big way on things. And so learn to do that. Learn about the anointing and everything else. Is you to utilize the things that God gives you. Find out what He wants you to do with that. Hallelujah. But we want to be led by the Spirit of God. And we talked about the number one way. We started last week talking about the number one way that you're led by the Spirit is through the inward witness. Through the inward witness. It's not a voice or anything. Really, it's a knowing. We talked about it. You could use the word. Paul called it he perceived in his spirit. In other words, he had a perception. He's got something. Sometimes I've heard people use it. It's an unction. Or you just get something in the inside of you that you get a sense of something. Sometimes, you know, it can be for numbers of different things, you know, is going on. Sometimes I just got a sense I was supposed to give somebody some money. I just got a sense. No voice said anything. I just got a sense I need to give them some money. Or we talked about Darlene was talking about was on the highway driving. You know, there'd been an accident. And she just got a sense of, you know, where the direction that she was driving in. There was something going on. She just got a sense. And she called Mike about it. Found out, yes, there was. There was a problem in the road ahead. Just like, you know, so there's things that can save you from safety. Wise, Kenneth Hagin used to tell a story about a man who was him and his wife. He's a minister, and him and his wife were in two very bad accidents. In fact, the second one left her, in really pretty bad condition and that stuff and things from her being able to walk and things. Accidents he's in, and he was listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching on be led by the Spirit, and Kenneth Hagin was teaching on this area about the inward witness. And when he told him about that, and he talked about it, he said to Kenneth Hagin after the service, he said, what you taught, he said, I never heard anybody ever teach on it. He said, if I would have known this, he said, I'd have never been in either accident that I was in. He said, in both times, he said, that I got an accident, I had a sense that something was going on. And he said, the second one, the real bad accident, he said, my wife and I, we were out ministering, and we were on the road and ministering, and we're staying in a hotel. And he said, when we left the hotel that morning, I got a sense I was supposed to just wait there a while, don't leave right away. But he said, I was in a hurry and wanted to go. And he said, we got on the road about 20 minutes. And he says, we were in this terrible accident, and his wife was really messed up bad. He said, if I'd have known this, he said, I'd have never been in that accident if I'd listened to that. Many times people bypass things. Over the years, I've had many times people come to me and say, boy, if I'd have listened, I had a sense this such and such, but I went and did that. Folks, I've done that. I've had a sense of something and didn't pay attention to it. And one of the problems in this area is because the church has had a fear. They think this is dealing with the occult. You know, while they're getting over there, what are you, a fortune teller, or you're something? You know, the Holy Ghost is in us to bear witness with us things. It's not the occult. The occult steals. The devil steals from God. God ain't stealing from the devil. And the church has really lived under bondage. The church is afraid of anything supernatural. And then they talk about a big God. Well, our big God is supernatural. And if you ain't going to go to the supernatural realm, I mean, the world, it's one thing. If the world is tied and wants something supernatural and all you offer them is natural, they ain't coming to you. Forget it. You can preach Jesus all you want. They'll tell you to go jump. Because they'll know that they're supernatural. And they ain't going to take a second-hand God, some little bitty old thing that don't do nothing. They aren't going to go for that. And because they're going to. I mean, you could just tell in our age. Look at television. Look at the movies and stuff and things that are going on. All this stuff out here is going, what's the world tied to? They're tied to supernatural things. You know, they want events. They want cars that can go down the road and blow up, and a guy can fly 5,000 feet in the air and hit the ground and get up and walk away. They want, they're looking at extreme. They want something out. But folks, you know why they do? That isn't because of the devil. God is supernatural. Anybody who's going to follow God is going to be drawn to supernatural. If you're not, you're not following God. You're going to be drawn to supernatural. I had it from the time that I was a child. And then the church did everything they could to rob it out of me, to steal it from me. And so as I got older, I got over into the occult and I got into things. Why? Because they offered supernatural. The world is looking for supernatural, and that's what the Antichrist is going to offer them, because the church does not. The church just offers, you know, good works. Just, hey, I believe in good works. But our God is supernatural and wants to move in a dynamic way. He wants to do things, and we need to get over into the realm of the Spirit to hook up with these things so we can flow in them. Hallelujah. And so that was one of the things when I first, when a guy told me about, you know, Kenneth Hagin's ministry, and he gave me the book, How to Be Led by the Spirit. I was unsaved. Read the book and thought, man, this guy knows things about the spirit realm. And but I found this out. I read his book, and you talk, most Christians thought he was a heretic. You know, all these people, you know, out here, oh my God, you know, yo, don't listen to him. He's crazy. He's all this faith stuff and he all this super. Well, you know that stuff's the devil. You know what God does is the devil. But we're sure believing in God. We're trusting in Him. And all they got is born again, and they don't have anything else. That's all they got. And that's all you will have if you don't understand to learn the spirit realm. And you can't learn about the spirit realm till you learn to be led by the Spirit. Number one, you have to have faith in the spirit realm. You have to believe in the realm of the Spirit more than you believe in the natural realm. If you don't believe more in the spirit realm than you do the natural realm, you're always going to be limited with God. You're always limited. I found when I was over involved in sorcery, that's the way it was. The people who could actually get things to happen, I could get spirits to manifest. Why? Because I believed in the spirit realm, so therefore I lived like there was a spirit realm. Most Christians live like there is not a spirit realm, yet they'll talk and say there is one. It doesn't matter if you believe in it. It only matters if you live like it's true. That's faith. Faith is living like it's true. Faith isn't saying I believe it's so. Faith is not saying I believe it. That's not faith. Because it is doing it. Living like it's, live like there's a spirit realm. Live like there's a realm that you're in, tied into and hooked into, that is greater than this natural realm. Look, if all you're going to do is stay hooked on this realm, then you can only have what this realm offers. That's as far as you're going to go. You're going to be limited to what you can have. The spirit realm is the unlimited place. That's the place of all things are possible to him that believeth. That's a spirit realm. That ain't the natural realm. The natural realm doesn't have that. All things are not possible in the natural realm. The natural realm is governed by Satan. He uses the flesh and the feelings of people and stuff to dominate, to live over here. If we want to change things, we do it through the realm of the spirit. That's where we step into. And so, the devil deceives people. He gets people to, you know, worship, you know, whether him or witchcraft and stuff. And what they does, it all operates through the natural. You make some kind of potion to change something, you know, and you go out here, you know, and you burn some kind of smoke or incense and walks around, and that'll chase devils away, you know. You go down here, oh, the devil, he don't care. You can carry all that stuff around, do that stuff. He'll take it from you and smoke it. He don't care. He just, you know, but they do all this stuff. What are they doing? Natural things trying to deal with spiritual stuff. Christians are doing the same thing. Christians are doing all kind of natural things trying to deal with spiritual stuff. Christians are doing the same thing. See, we do that. How are we going to reach sinners? Well, why don't we just start a church and get this thing working? Whatever pleases sinners, we'll get them in. We'll get them in by natural things we'll use to get them in, see? Yeah, we're going to change them spiritually by hook them in the natural. Yeah, we're going to get them hooked in the natural. Well, whatever you use to hook them with, what's going to have to use to keep them? You use the flesh to get people, you're going to have to use the flesh to keep them. Because you're going to keep having to play to the flesh. You're going to always have to play the flesh. And that's what you don't want to do. You want to play to the flesh. Next week I'm going to put an article in that Randy Greer has about a church, and he talked to the leaders of the church. This church that took off and grew real fast, how they reached people. They went around and they used psychological demographics to figure out how to reach a community. You can't preach to people no more than 16 minutes. That's what they found out, that most people can't handle. So that's what they do. So you don't preach anywhere no more than like 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then you stop and have a video. Then you preach a few more minutes and then you have a video. And so that's what they do. Hey folks, there's big churches in America doing it all. I sat in a spirit-filled meetings with ministers and they were telling you to do that. They're having all their video stuff, and these are leaders. Oh, this is how you get your church big. You get your church big by getting people over and occupying, keeping them over, see, into the visual realm, over into the feeling realm. You keep them over in that area. See, you keep showing them videos, something that entices their flesh, see. Because why? They can't sit down and listen. And they want to talk about today why kids can't learn. Kids can't learn because their parents are total idiots. Because the parents can't take more than 16 minutes of God. Christian parents can't take more than 16 minutes of hearing about God. I would say that's probably a good 95% of the church world today. They can't take no more than 16 minutes of God, and that's it. Make us puke after that one, you know. My God, God will make you throw up after having to listen about Him that long. Dear Lord. And so that's the things that are driving forces. You know, you got to turn around and have all this stuff. They have like, you know, worship. I forget what they said, how many minutes worship can be. And it's going to be this, you know, certain many minutes and that's it. If you want to keep people. Well, they took this church, you know, in old time, you know, they have something. I forget how many services on Sunday morning. They got 3,000 or 4,000 people. They got all this, you know, stuff going on. They got this big thing. They got it going in old time. Why? Everybody loves it. You get down there and you're told you're all right. Everything's cool and good. You go in there because you're enjoying this thing. Fills your flesh. You get out the door. You go in and out. Man, you don't have to stick around any amount of time. You don't have to listen to God very much. Go back next time and you're told the same things all over again. Just bring your checkbook. Glory to God, we're having fun. Hallelujah. Well, those are the things that are going on. Surely people aren't even getting born again. People are not. You know, people might make a fleshly commitment. You draw people in by the flesh and their commitment's going to be made by the flesh. As soon as you don't give them what they want, they're going to leave because they have not accepted Christ. They'll go through a mimic of things and so we're talking around here, saying, well, get people led by the Spirit. Well, how can they be led by the Spirit? My words, the ministers can't even be led by the Spirit. So we need to understand that we have to be led by the Spirit. We have to follow the plans and purposes of God, what God has established. We can't be doing our own thing. One of the things, there's a story in the Bible we're going to talk about here, because as we look at this, being led by the Spirit, we need to differentiate between, because people look at things sometimes in the Old Testament, and I hear people, over the years I've heard people many times make statements and things about them doing things that people did in the Old Testament or acting as people did in the Old Testament, and their search for God, the walking with God. And we need to understand this. The Old Testament is types and shadows. There's things that we can learn from them that we look at and we can learn, but you must always understand this. They were not children of God. They were not born again. None of them, not a one, were ever born again. They were actually children of the devil. They couldn't even go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. Jesus talked about in His day, before Jesus died and rose from the dead, He said there was a rich man in Lazarus. And He said when Lazarus died, He said he went to Abraham's bosom. He didn't go to heaven. He went to Abraham's bosom. There was a place of those in faith. They couldn't go on to be with God. Why? Because they weren't born of God. Nobody goes to heaven that ain't born again. It will never happen. It will never take place. You must be born again. You got to get born again. I don't care what anybody says or what they think they believe. If they have not experienced the new birth, Jesus Christ Himself said, you must be born again. Jesus said it, that's the final on the thing. He said, you must. So, a person must be born again. So when we deal or we look at God's dealing with people in the Old Testament, you as a believer should not expect God to deal with you like He did with them. You shouldn't expect that. God deals with you on a higher level. Now, a lot of people think the higher level is the way they did it because it seems easier. It's not easier. And there's a lot of hit and miss doing their ways. We want to talk because why? It's through the flesh. If the law which Bible tells us the law was given to deal with men's flesh. It didn't deal with man's heart. It dealt with man's flesh. If it didn't work, and it wasn't supposed to work, it was never supposed to save man, do you think God's dealing with them was the best way to be dealt with? The best way that you can be dealt with by God is through your spirit. If you learn how to be led by the Spirit, you will never miss it. You can come to the point. If you're going to be trying to be led like they were in the Old Testament, you're going to miss it numbers of times more. And that's why this is not a harder thing. This is a safer thing. You're born again. You have a recreated spirit. God is dealing with your spirit. And if you learn to hook up with it and pay attention to the inner man rather than the outer man, I will guarantee you it is an easier and safer way to walk. It's a higher level. It's not lower. It's higher. It's a much higher level. And so you want to learn to develop. And so we want to look at something as one of the things Kenneth Hagin used to always teach and use this, and you've heard about this, the guy named Gideon over in Judges, the 6th chapter. There was a guy whose name was Gideon. And Gideon, we want to look at things because he put a fleece out. Now, we may not do what Gideon did, and I just want to read, you know, some generally here with him in Judges, the 6th chapter. But Gideon wanted to get a hold of God and wanted to find out something, and said, In Judges, the 6th chapter, in verse 35, it says, "And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them." He says, "So Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool,'" he said, "'on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only,'" he said, "'and it is dry on all the ground,' he said, "'then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said.'" Well, then listen, he goes on, okay. So he said, it was so. When he rose early in the morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Now, we're going to find out. Gideon said, "God, if you do this, I want to know that you're going to do what you said." Well, he didn't believe it. He didn't have a lick of faith. He didn't have faith. He only had faith in what he saw, and he didn't have much faith in that. Because he knew this. Well, stuff like that could happen. So he said, okay. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only and on the fleece, but on the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. And many times, in a sense, many people are doing today in the church world what Gideon did. In fact, I, as a kid growing up in the church, I heard people use that, you know, putting a fleece before God. They called it putting a fleece. They had a self. I imagine a lot of people outside the church world don't have any clue what they're talking about when they say they're putting a fleece out. But they used to say about that, and what they mean, they're going to put a fleece, they're going to ask God, "If you'll do this, then I'll know you want me to do that. If you do this, then I'll do this or that." I want you to understand, that is really low level. That is low level. Because you need to understand, there's a God of this world, and He can do things. He can do stuff. He can do things over in the natural side too. He can make things happen. We need to understand, God dealt with them from where they were spiritually. From where they were at. Understand, Gideon had no clue. Gideon was a man raised up by God to do something. And there's one thing that Gideon, I sure hope he knew. None of what Gideon did was Gideon, because he couldn't. Gideon was really a picture of a man who didn't know a thing. And God did a mighty thing through this guy who was totally ignorant spiritually. Called him out, called him a mighty man of God, did all this stuff through Gideon. But the whole thing is, Gideon was led by the natural all the time. He was never led by the Spirit one time. He only believed what he heard. When God wanted him to go down to the Midianite army, God sent him down to listen, and he had to hear guys saying about Gideon. Oh yeah, they're scared of Gideon. And he had to hear that. He had to hear from men. He wasn't hearing from God. He wasn't doing that. He was hearing from men. God had to keep doing natural things, but understand, he's spiritually dead. He's a spiritual dead man. He's not alive to God. See, there's a total difference. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They weren't born of God. They didn't have fellowship with God like we do. You and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. You and I pray directly to God. They didn't. They had a priest that had to stand in for them. Many Christians do the same thing today. They're always looking for a priest to stand in for them. They're looking for somebody to stand in for me. They never learn to approach God on their own. They're always looking for a prayer chain. Anything comes along, if I can get somebody else to do this. And most of their life, they never realize what they can do. They never see themselves as the priest. They're always putting a fleece out to see if somebody else can do this. Somebody can make this thing happen. There's nothing. I'm not against praying, you know, getting other people to pray for you. But the reason you do it for makes a big difference. If you're getting other people to pray for you because you don't believe you can get it, well, you're going to have trouble, because God is never going to let those people always get stuff for you. That'll never happen. You have to come to the place to know who you are as being born again. God wants to deal with you. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to fellowship with Him. When you have a need, He wants to hear you say it, not somebody else. He wants you to come and believe Him for it. So we want to be led by the Spirit of God. So He put out a fleece. Now we can go over in this fleece subject. You know, as Kenneth Hagin used this story, I thought was really good. He used one of them. This one church wanted him to come there and pastor when he first started off. And so he put his fleece out before God. So what he did, he told God, "God, I'll know it's you want me to go to that church if when they have their congregational meeting and they vote for a pastor and I get 100% of the votes." He said, "I know it was you." And he said, "I got fleeced and they got fleeced." He said, in fact, if story of over the years of what happened with him in concerning this church. He said, "I spent a year at that church," and he said, "My wife said to me one day, she said, 'You know, you've got to the point you can give a pretty good talk.'" He said, "Now listen to this. You need to understand this. This is what happens in Christians in their life. They follow fleeces. They follow things." He said, "I lost the anointing." He said, "I'd step in the pulpit," and he said, "the anointing would leave me." And he said, "It was just me up there talking." And he said, "I did that for a year." And that's why his wife said to him, said, "You got to where you can give a pretty good talk." He said, "I was never so glad to leave a church in my life." He said, "There was no anointing on me. I wasn't supposed to be there." He said, "But I put out a fleece. I did it my way. Instead of asking God, waiting on God to hear, I just decided how I was going to do it." And he said, "I did it." And he told me later, he said to this, he told the congregation, he said, "I came to this congregation later on, and there was another pastor there was at the church, and the church was doing well and everything. And he asked the pastor if he could come back there and preach one time, because he said, 'All I want to do is I want to show them that I really can preach. I do have an anointing.'" And he said, they had me back, and they said, "Well, we didn't know you could preach like that." I didn't have any anointing. See, Christians don't get it. You cannot listen to God and do things your way. And people sometimes go through bad times in their life and they've done it to themselves by following natural things, by following, looking. Well, God, I've had a person here over the last couple of years, three or four times, has done things, said to me, "Well, hello, it's nobody here in the congregation." "Well, you know," I wonder who did that. The person said to me, "Well, you know, such and such happened, so God must want me to do this or that." And then they just go follow that. That's what they follow. "Well, you know," and that's how they make their decision. If something good happens over here, that must be God. And that's the way they're doing it. I'm sorry to say, that's the way many Christians do. They're determined by something looks good, something feels good. That's God talking to me. I'm going to tell you, I had God lead me to things I sure didn't want to do. I've had God lead me into areas that turned out to be the right thing to do and stuff. But I'll tell you what, I didn't ever pick the decision to go in that direction. I didn't ever pick that. And see, that's why you got to be led by the Spirit. You can't be led by the natural. See, most people are led by what looks good, what looks nice, you know. It was like Brother Hagin used to say this to us. He said, "You know, if you tell the devil, 'Look, God, if I get up in the morning and the front door is open, I'll know you're in this to do this or that.'" And he said, "My words," he said, "the devil can open the door," and he said, "or another," he said, "a crook can come and open your door and leave it open and went inside." He said, "That's no sign, God." See, you know, and he said too. He said, you do that kind of stuff. He said, don't be surprised that old polecat will get in your house. But you know, see, people need to get, you know, really spiritually, people got polecats. In other words, people let stuff in and have, because of doing these kinds of things, and they wonder how demonic powers have gotten to operate in their lives. And it's because they're trying to respond to God and get God to respond to them through natural things. That's not the safe way to do it, folks. That's not the way to do it. God's intent is to deal with the heart of individuals. And so we know, like dealing with, you know, see, if we deal with an unsaved person. Now here's what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this. I'm going to read it. He's speaking of Satan, who's the god of this world. It says, he whose minds the god of this age has blinded. He's talking about sinners. What's he doing? He's blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan blinds. So the sinner, what? The sinner has a blindness on him. That's why we got to pray for him, for God to reach them. The sinner has a blindness on them. The sinner will be led. If a Christian walks like the sinner does, he'll start to try to get led by God, by the natural. That's what the world does. The world sets up religions that meet their fleshly criteria. That's why you go out here. You know, it's like I said to the Lord, you know, after I was born again and listening to people talking about how Jesus is going to return. And I said, Lord, I said, this is the craziest thing. I said, they got 20 different ways. People say that Jesus is coming back. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me clearly. He said, yeah, 19 of them are a lie. Well, see, it's wise out here because people not listening to the Holy Ghost, they're listening to everything else. And look at, they're out here judging how Jesus is going to come back, but see what the nations are doing to each other and all that stuff. That ain't for the church. That's for the world. The church is supposed to be knowing on the inside, the inward witness. What Israel's doing is fine. I can find it in the Word. But I know Jesus is coming back because Ed's in contact with Jesus. Most of the church isn't. They got to wait around. Hey, it's fun to listen to all that stuff, and there's nothing wrong with listening to it. But we aren't led by nations. We aren't led by the calamities and the things that are going on. We're led by the Spirit of God, and we know the age. Let me tell you, loads of Christians. If I sit around most Spirit-filled Christians, and I would sit and tell them about the things of the age going on out here in alignment of nations, they'd say it's all true, yet the majority of them are not ready for Jesus to come back. Know why? Because they're not in here. It's all outward. Their Christianity's outward. It's outward. They aren't sold on the shortness of the hour. They're still living like Jesus ain't coming back. It's why? Because they don't know on the inside. It's being led by the Spirit. Walking around, there's an unction. The world doesn't have that unction. Satan has blinded them from that unction. See, I don't want to go back and live that way. I don't want to live blinded. I don't want to be blinded. I want to live. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, and Paul wrote in the same 2 Corinthians 11:14. He said, no wonder, he said, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Being led by the Spirit. I've never told the whole story of why I have the dream. But anyhow, a minister had asked me one time about praying. He had some people. He was an associate in a church. He was associate pastor, and he was head over some things. And anyhow, there was a group in the church. Some guys had gotten together, and they had a band, you know. And they were playing, I guess some Christian rock and roll is what they were playing, you know. And said, you know, I don't believe you can use a diet of Christian rock and roll and grow up anything. I don't have anybody, but you know, you got to get some meat every once in a while. But if people are in line with it, you might use. I mean, as long as you stay in line with it. But they got over into the thing, and he asked me to pray about it. He said, "There's things that are wrong." He said they're starting to use, you know, sort of worldly stuff, and he said then they're you know using it to reach people in. Now, I want you to see this because this has a lot to do with that secret friendly that's going on. See, this goes back to the mid '80s, and So you see this stuff is happening down the line. See, we're enticing them in with this, and oh, we're having really good results. People come in, and well, what happens if, even if a person does get saved, they stay worldly because they keep them attached over here on the world side. And they used to use the thing that Paul said. Paul said, you know, that he became like, you know, others to reach them. He wasn't talking about, Paul didn't become unspiritual and live a carnal life to reach anybody. Paul wasn't talking about that. I mean, so they use that scripture. And this guy said, I just don't get a sense it's right, because why? When he said he didn't think it's right, see, everybody, all the rest of the Christians got in opposition. Why? They said, oh, it looks so good, because it looks like it's getting good results. They're going by look like, you know, here's one thing is that, I'll tell you about this. Let me just throw this in here about revival and stuff. It's just like a minister came to me, church, 3,000 people. And he said, we're really having revival. They had a minister in. He said, we're really having revival. I knew him and I knew his church. And I knew the minister he had in. He had a guy who was in from India. This guy, he travels around the world. He's actually from India, but he travels around the world. Powerful evangelist. And has a lot of, power of God on him. Well, this guy said, we're having revival because there was a lot going on in his church. He said, I'll tell you whether you're having revival. I said, when he leaves, I'll let you know if there's a revival going on. See, revival is on when, you know, people think, well, when all the fun's going on. Well, what happens when the fun stops? We'll find it. And I said this to him. I said, that guy is the one, he's in the spirit. I said, he's in the water splashing. I said, just because you and your congregation are getting splashed don't mean you're having revival. You just feel what he got. I said, you'll know if you got what he got when he leaves. If you don't have that, then we'll know it didn't take place. You just got splashed. Now, how did I learn that? I learned that over time. I've sat in meetings where I just got splashed, and I learned when it was over. I said, many people go to Kenneth K. Copeland meetings, they'll go down and have a great time, and they don't get in the spirit where he's gone. They just go get splashed, and they leave, and they're in the same old mess they were when they turned around and went to the meeting. It wasn't that the meeting wasn't right. The meeting was right. But people don't enter in. You got to enter into the same thing. You know, if you want to go where he's going, you got to get in his boat. You got to be doing what he does and living what he lives to do that. You want to get in that anointing, you just don't go, you know, I'm going down here hardly follow God, hardly do a thing, and it's just going to get on me there. You know, these empty-headed ministers that have those kinds of meetings. Well, calling off the anointing that's on me is going to get on you. Not if you don't do anything. It ain't. You know, dear God. You know, you ain't going to turn around, you know, and just seek God, you know, 2 seconds a day and something, or get up and read your little daily devotional, and you're going to go where Benny Hinn's gone. Get out of here. It ain't happening. I can lay hands on you till your every, you know, hair in your head's worn off. And it still ain't going to happen to you. Even though if God wants you to have it, you're going to have to do something to get it. You're going to have to go after. You seek His kingdom and His righteousness, it says. See, it didn't say, you know, you got saved, it's all going to happen to you. He said all this stuff will be added to you. What? If you seek His kingdom and His righteousness, it will be added. You got to seek it. You got to go after it. It don't just fall on you. So we need to understand that. Well, anyhow, this guy asked me if I'd pray about this. I didn't realize at the time, in fact, I didn't do a lot of praying about it. But I didn't realize how close it was on the heart of God about this thing. So I want to tell you, sometimes, you know, you have visions or dreams, or you might have something going on. It don't mean that you're spiritual. God's just trying to get something across to somebody. And you just happen to be the candidate at the time, so don't think you're some big deal. Because I didn't really say, I asked the Lord about this, I asked the Lord, if people pray and they do things, my prayer of the Lord was, Lord, what about this thing? What is it? Is this you moving, or is this people doing things? What is it? I want to know. Well, it wasn't right away. It was maybe about a week later, minding my own business, I have a dream. And I mean, well, I shouldn't call it a dream. I guess maybe it's what Paul called about a night vision, because when it took place, I knew this wasn't a dream. It was just like I was awake. I was alive. I was in Vietnam. It's just like I was in Vietnam. I was in an ammo car, driving a deuce and a half truck loaded with ammo. And I'm in a long column of trucks hauling ammo. And see, when you're on an ammo convoy, you stop for nothing. You don't stop for anything. They shoot at you, something happens, you know, I don't care if civilians want to come out in the road. They either get out of the way, you keep moving, or you end up dead. somebody shoots one of those trucks and you just have nothing but explosions. You know, you're carrying an ammo. And, you know, when you carried ammo, you carried just small arms. You carried artillery stuff and everything and all kinds of things. So we're moving along, and all of a sudden, the traffic, we're moving through, and we're coming through this jungle area. And it's a three-tier jungle. And three-tier jungles, ones that are grown overhead, it's like driving through a tunnel. The jungles get real high, and the three-tier jungle, that's the big stuff. The, you know, just over top, the trees will just keep growing and grow over top, but they'd have to keep cutting all the time because in tropical areas, that stuff grows and grows and grows. But you drive along, and I was in Vietnam, I was in places like that, never happy to be around that, because when you're in a situation like that, they can't get air support to you because they can't see where you're at. You can set off the smoke grenades and stuff to try to mark your position, and it can't even get through the thick, you know, overhead trees and stuff. The smoke don't even rise through it. So you're sort of down there alone. And here I am. I'm going to tell you, it's just like I'm in Vietnam. I'm driving this ammo and drive this truck. And I'm driving down through, and everybody starts slowing down. I'm nervous. Things slowing down, we ain't a destination. You shouldn't be slowing down for nothing. Nobody slows down. And we're slowing down and slowing down and slowing down, and all of a sudden we come to a stop. And I'm going to tell you, I'm back there, you know, yelling. What are you guys doing? What's going on up ahead? Yelling. Well, I'm sitting there yelling and yelling, and I knew there was up way up ahead, there was a commotion going on. And so I was drove my truck over to the edge of the road, out onto the berm there as far as I could get out. And I looked out up through, and there's a big angel standing up on the road, way up ahead. There's this big angel. Oh, he's big. He's probably about 10 feet tall. Big, white, glowing, looked glorious, just wonderful looking thing, standing up there. And I remember, I slid back over my seat, and this just came to me. That can't be God. He would never put us in danger like this. He'd never do this to us. And I just started yelling. I started yelling, that ain't God. That's not God. Ain't nobody listening to me. I'm yelling, that ain't God. Nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. So I'm sitting there, and believe me, I'm just nervous. I mean, I want out of there. I don't want to be in this stupid truck with all this ammo sitting out in the middle of, you know, this area. So I turned around, I took my truck, and I drove it over in to this brush and bush. And, you know, you can go through pretty much in one of those deuce and a halves. You can, those things, you lock the, when the front wheels are locked in on that thing and that stuff, and you got all those tires pulling. They can literally do the truck, and you could drive it up, say, against a tree. You could take one of them, and just at an idle, you could turn around and leave out the clutch and get off the thing, and it would just sit there and keep digging by itself, wanting to push ahead. So anyhow, I took off, and I'm running over small tree stuff and bushes and stuff, driving, and I come up, and I drive up through, and I'm yelling the whole time at these people the whole time I'm coming up. And I finally get up, and I mean, folks, to me, this is as real as I'm standing here right now. And I'll never forget, I pulled up beside, there was a truck stopped. This guy was stopped. And all kind of guys left their truck and are standing there. And this big angel's there. And when I looked in his face, I looked into his eyes. And when I saw the eyes, I knew it was demonic. I knew it was demonic. I looked in his eyes and I knew that was the devil. Folks, that's a lot of time you can tell people are possessed. You want to see a manifestation? I've done many times seen people look into their eyes. And I knew I was looking at a spirit looking out at me. I've known that. Well, this thing looked at me. He knew who I was, and he knew I knew who he was. And I yelled at him and took on ahead, and anyhow, I would end up driving and driving until I got to our destination, and they wanted to know where the other part of the convoy. I said, they're back there. I said, they're deceived the devil. I said, this big angel back there. I said, the devil, he's back there, and they're all stopped there. And they stayed there. Well, then the dream just ended. Well, I knew later when I woke, I knew that what this was about. I knew there was a, and I called this guy about this. I said to him, I said, I want to tell you what's going on there is demonic. They think they're going to do, I said, they're going to end up ensnared. They themselves are going to be ensnared and trapped by the devil. And it did. I don't know if those people even serve God today. They got over in the natural, following. After a while, they just overplaying rock and roll because people are following and going after them. And they got themselves a big time going. And that stuff happened. And you know, you couldn't talk to people about it. See, we yelled just like I was doing, yelling at those people there. Well, I told this guy what's going on. He talked to them in their church, and nobody's going to listen to, oh, this is God doing this. This is God. Yeah, you know, this is God. See, people led by look good. You know, I didn't find that Jesus was probably, you know, playing the music of the day for, you know, that the world was playing, trying to reach people. I mean, we got a church right here in this community. I mean, they did it, put it right publicly on put it on the in the Lebanon Daily News, what they do. Their church plays, you know, 60s and 70s music for the people coming in the church. That's the Church of the Good Shepherd. I can use their name because they have it in the paper. The pastor said they do it. You go there and you go in. You get to listen to 60s and 70s music coming in, going to the church. And because we're reaching these people, you see. This is what we're doing. We're reaching people. Yes. Yes, they're reaching them. But see, we're dealing with the areas, folks, of being led by the Spirit of God. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. So you get over anything. You don't want to go over from the standpoint of the natural. What looks good? What looks nice? See, not everything, they always say, not everything that glitters gold is absolutely true. You know, if I have a manifestation of something, I want to know. I don't care what manifestation. If it ain't aligned with the Word of God, I ain't gonna accept it. I've learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin learned. There's one thing as I learned about Jesus' personality himself, whether Jesus manifests to his person. Because Brother Hagin would do it with Jesus. Jesus manifested himself to him in vision form more than anybody's been on record about being. If somebody did, it ain't on record about major visions that he had. And in the visions that he had, he'd tell Jesus, if it was a difference than he understood the Bible, he'd tell Jesus, I can't accept that unless you show me the Scripture where that thing is so. And so we need to understand this. One thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to develop in the Word of God. You're going to have to learn to develop what the Word says and get in line with the Word of God. You're going to have to know the Holy Spirit can't speak to you any differently than what the Word says. He's going to guide you and lead you. You know, we have what John said. He said, but when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, whom the world, the Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will testify me. Then he went on to say, he said, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you and lead you into all the truth, for he shall not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell us, you know, things to come. And we found out because John went on and wrote in 17, Jesus said this, sanctify them by the truth. He said, your word is truth. See, the Spirit of truth always moves in line with the truth, the Word. No better than you understand the Word. And this is one thing today. We have a lot of doctrinal stuff out here that's terrible, that's being taught, that's being given to the church over major ministries. Lousy stuff. Things that aren't sound doctrinally. People are accepting it and eating it and not verifying it with the Word. I don't care what some guy says something means. You ain't going to find one Scripture. You never build nothing around one Scripture. You don't build anything around one Scripture. Any major thing that God has or wants to do is laid out in the Word, and you'll find it in many places and many things. And you'll begin to see it. So He wants to lead you to truth. One thing is about the Holy Spirit, and I want you to get this as in closing. When I read John 16:13, it says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, it says, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak of His own in His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will tell you things to come. He says there, what was He going to do? He says, He will guide you into all the truth. That's what He does. He guides you. You need to understand this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you want to be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit guides you. The Holy Spirit guides you. He never pushes you. Never. 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 People talked about feeling pushed to do something. That's not the Holy Ghost. It's one thing I learned from Kenneth Hagin and I found out was true. He said the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll never push you to do something. Look, God doesn't, if God has to push you into it, He won't even bother with you on it. If He has to push you and make you do what's right, He won't even bother with you on it. He'll tell you about it, but He ain't going to push you. He's going to bully you because God does not want people He has to force. He's not forcing anybody to do nothing. If you don't want to follow Him, you don't have to. But the devil will push you to follow Him. He'll do all kinds of things to push you, to make you feel pushed to do things. Many people say, talk about things really as they really felt pushed to do stuff and they did them and they turn around messing things up and they talk about, well, it was God. I've had people say, well, you know, I just really felt I'm supposed to do this and this just keeps bothering, I'm supposed to do this, and they do it. God ain't pushing you to do nothing. God leads people by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of peace. Understand, He leads. In other words, now think about what leading. Leading is going ahead. He's going, walking ahead, saying, come on, follow me. He's not behind you pushing you. Anything's behind you pushing you, you need to know what that is. That's called the devil. That's how people get into all kind of problems and that stuff, mental problems, everything. They follow pushing. Stuff pushes them. Stuff dominates them in that way. They feel pushed all the time, pushed all the time. God will lead you. God will lead you. And so you need to know that about the Holy Spirit. I know with myself, starting off as a young Christian and stuff, I had things come against me. And Wanda and I had some things coming that came against us. The people coming against me started feeling a lot of pushing. A lot of pushing. I was just young. And I kept going in my mind about this thing. Well, maybe I should do what they say, and maybe this and that and the other thing. Because I was, you know, sort of torn between what was on the inside and outside, and I was losing track of what was going on inside and outside. I was losing track of it, and it's caused me a lot of problems. And the one night I was going through this thing, and finally I got so frustrated with it. I don't know how you guys do things or how you guys talk to God, but most people don't. Most people, you're too religious when you deal with God. You're just much too... I finally stopped and I said, God, if this is you and this thing with me, I said, if you're treating me like this, I said, I ain't hanging around you. If there's a devil, I want to know it. And God, I said, if it's you, you better knock this off, because you ain't going to get me no place pushing me around. You need to learn, notice, I was pushed around as a kid, and I'm going to tell you what, I got tired of getting pushed around and I started pushing back. One thing you don't want to do. You might have found somebody as a coward. You might have done things too. Don't hope that one day they turn on you. They'll probably kill you. And I was just that way. And I said, God, if you're pushing and doing this. Well, when I said that, when I finally brought things to a stop and refused to move in that direction, I heard on the inside, and I heard it through Kenneth Hagin's voice off of a tape I heard him talk about. And I heard him say about, God leads you, the Holy Ghost leads you and guides you. He don't push you. I heard it. But it wasn't until I brought things to a stop. See, I had to do something. I couldn't hear what was going on. I had to bring it to a stop. See, most people will get religious and they'll say, well, I'd never talk to God like that. You'd never say such a thing. Well, you probably never know God much either. And I'm just telling you, we have to rise up to where we follow God. Listen to what Isaiah 28:16 says this, and I like it. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not make haste. You need to learn this. The Holy Ghost is not pushing and shoving, and you got to do it right now, right now, right now. Do it right now. We live in a society. This is our world. This is why the church has conformed to the world. You got to do everything right now. Get it done right now. Jesus is coming back. You don't wait and play these things. We just got to make things happen. We got to just do things now. We just got to make it. That's the devil. That's the devil talking. God has never changed. You wait till you hear from God. If you're a person of faith, you don't make haste. You don't make these quick snap decisions and you got to get forced into this and forced into that. You got to learn to stay away from that stuff. That's the stuff that leads you in. Anytime I went and made haste, I messed up. Every time I made decisions, you know, anybody comes along to me and they got a sale and you can only have it today or you can never have it today. I'm sorry, you ain't forcing me into a decision today, because I'm not going to make a decision based on, well, you got to do it right now or it's not going to be there. People make investments, do that, lose their money all the time. Because, oh yeah, you can make a fortune right now, but this is going to be gone. When somebody starts doing that to me, I just stop them immediately, and I've done it with people. I've stopped them immediately and say, you're wasting your time. If I have to do it this second, it will not be done. Go blow wind someplace else. I've had Christians try to get me in it. I'll tell you, more Christians have been taken by Christians on investments and things on this make haste stuff. Anybody comes to you, and I don't care if it's Billy Graham and he has a make haste job on, you know, to get in on an investment, you tell him he's following the devil. And you can tell him I said it. I don't care. That would be wrong. I don't think he'd ever do that. But number one, you got to wake up, people. Follow the Bible. Believing is about faith and patience. Why would you need faith and patience if it's all done instantly? Everything ain't done instantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, if you're going to be led by the Spirit, you're going to have to follow the principles of the Bible, and you need to know them. Because let me tell you, we'll talk again, you know, next week, because there's many spirits, it says out here, and you've got to test them. Well, testing takes some time. We want to talk about testing the spirits. Testing takes time. You don't quite make, sometimes, now there's some things you may know right away. It's God speaking to you because He's been dealing with you on something, and you know that God's been dealing with you about this. But there's many things that come along. You need to test the spirits. You need to find out, is this God or not? He said there's many voices out there, none without significance. Well, what's the voice? What's this talking about? You know, look at the Bible. Look in the Old Testament. The majority of the prophets were wrong. The majority of the prophets would prophesy wrong. Everyone came down to what was going on. Prophets prophesying wrong. And the last I heard, I read this in the New Testament. I don't know if it's true or not. It might not be. Maybe it isn't according to today's standard. But it says there's many false prophets have gone out among us. It says many. There ain't a few. There's many. There's many false prophets. They've learnt the lingo of the church. They know how you talk and what you do. And they've studied it and they've learned it. And they're out there to deceive you and they know what they're doing. They're not ignorant of it. Not everybody's following the devil's ignorant of it. I knew when I was over in sorcery, I knew what I was following. I knew what I was doing. Don't you think people don't know? There's a lot of people ain't ignorant. There's a lot of deceivers out here. The New Testament calls them deceivers. They stand in pulpits. They have great voices. They say all kinds of things. But they don't follow in line with the Word of God. They know all the right lingo and stuff. And they know all, man, they have been taught and trained in the best oral speaking schools and stuff. And they know how to grip your flesh. And people who aren't spiritual get hooked up to them. Give them their money and then complain because things don't work. My words, they get caught doing it. My words, they get ministers caught doing it. Turning around and having little, you know, transmitters in their ear and somebody telling them about an individual and they're turning around and prophesying to the person and the whole thing's a lie. It's all done deception. It's made totally public by the news media and the guy still runs a big ministry today and people still follow him. People are idiots. Christians are idiots. Give this guy millions and millions of dollars. He's a deceiver. See, we got to wake up, people. The church world's got to wake up. You know, prophecy don't come by listening. You know, somebody said, I talked to a woman personally. Asked me about how a certain thing happened to her. She turned around, she said, a guy prophesied she was supposed to give him $5,000, and she did. She said, well, he told me all this stuff about himself, myself and that stuff. I said, well, that sounds really good. I said, it sounds very nice. But I said, let me ask you this. She was at these meetings. I said, did you run into anybody at those meetings that you didn't know and all of a sudden they became great friends with you and you talked and told them all kinds of things about yourself? She said, yeah, I did. Well, it turns out, and I was correct about it because it finally came out in the media then later, he'd have people and he'd have them planted in the audience and they would get to know people and they'd get to know and find out and they would tell them. And he would get up in the meeting and he'd point a person out, tell them their name, doing all kinds of stuff. And they come up, he would tell them and get them to give him money. And what he's doing, he had these people planted in the audience. And you know what? His ministry's still running today. He's still going on, yet they found him. Still runs. God forgives. That's right, but you ain't an idiot. You don't go back and jump in the same old mud hole again, crazy people. You know? Dear God. God would forgive him, but I don't know that he asked for forgiveness. I don't know. I never heard that he did, so I don't know about it. That's between him and God. But Ed ain't sending him checks unless God says so. And Ed ain't going to listen to him preach because I know he'd lie. Well, good preaching anyhow, folks. But see, we need to wake up. This is why you need to learn to be led by the Spirit. You've got to know on the inside of you. You've got to know on the... See, you can be deceived if you go by what's said on the outside. If you don't know on the inside, if she would have followed... She said this to me. I had a sense there was something wrong with this. She never followed it. She had a sense there was something wrong the whole time. She had the proof, the witness on the inside, the Holy Ghost, and she overrode that because of what he said. Oh my God, sounded so good. Told me all this stuff about myself. Well, this must be God. I want you to know this. Demonic spirits can do the same thing. Without somebody telling them, they can tell you things about yourself. Demonic spirits can do it. People operate them, and it does. It works. That's why you've got to be led by the Spirit. If you're just led by the natural things, you don't know. That's why you got to listen on the inside. Over the years, I've had a lot of Christians get mad at me over time because I get something on the inside of me and I ain't moving along with them. They say it's nice, it's good. Well, go ahead, have your party. Go ahead, do what you want. I ain't going for the ride. Unless that changes on the inside, I ain't going there. I've watched ministries give money. I've watched ministries on the Ministers Fellowship. I've watched them support ministries and ministers and stuff. And the Lord told me to stay away from them. He didn't tell me exactly what was going on. Two of them I found out. The one guy, for a good probably 15, 20 years, been cheating all kind of women on his wife and doing all kind of stuff going on. The Lord always, when I've gone, He invited me to go to India with his ministry, go over there. He had a school. Thousands of students. This guy's been years messing around on his wife. They're turning around giving him all kind of money. Nobody's listening. You know, I'm this young guy that just got in with their ministry and that stuff. And when I sort of made mention about things, I was just sort of told, "Well, you just don't, we're smart, we know." They had another guy, he's a minister down in Mexico. They're turning around and, "Oh, he's the next best thing to sliced bread." The first time I ever met the man, he walked up and shook my hand and the Holy Spirit inside of me said, "You stay away from him." Found out he was doing all kinds of stuff. He was messed up, lied about his ministry and all that. They're there supporting him. You know, they found out he didn't. They still support his ministry. Folks, the devil owns a good portion of the church. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying this stuff to be negative, but I want you to know these things are going on out here. You need to know there's deception. The safety is in learning to be led by the Spirit. That's the safety. Most people will be, if a guy tells a good story, they don't even check it out. What was that there, Percy Calais? My cursed Percy Calais. He fooled the majority of the big ministries in America. Come along and, "Oh my words, he was called up to heaven all this time." Turned out the whole thing was a lie. He was called up to heaven. He had all these tapes out. He had gone and speaking in places and doing that. The whole thing was false and a lie. Everything was false and a lie. He most every big name minister in the United States, he suckered every one of them. But you know what? Some guy came along and checked him out and found out that the guy was never, he was a missionary, but he was never at the place that they said he said he ministered at. He was never even a minister there. It turns out this guy, but nobody ever checked him out. Nobody ever looked to see if it was ever true. There's lots of things sometimes in the natural you can do to find out if a person's lying about what they did. Check them out. You know, I always do this. I'll ask a person some questions. They come along and they say to me about certain things. I'll ask them some questions. And if they get touchy, "Well, why? What's the matter? Why don't you, you know, question your brother?" And I say, "Hey, I don't know you from man on the moon. I don't trust you at all. I have no reason to trust you. There's not any in the world. If you can't tell me, if I can't ask you about things and you don't want to talk to me about it and let me know, well, then let's just end the conversation right here." You know, if you're trying to get somebody and, you know, get up and get them on your side to do something, you better, if you're going to do it to me, I'm going to ask you questions. And if you don't want me any questions asked, don't come to Ed. Don't come to Ed. It's a good place not to come to. I got good sense. I've missed it enough to know. I ask questions. Ghost will take care of you. From the time I was a young Christian, I learned to listen to that inward intuition because of one major time that I missed it, just as a baby Christian, but what it cost me. And it was dealing with a so-called minister, a guy that was a minister. The first time I ever met him, it rose up inside of me. In fact, I didn't even meet him. He just walked, him and his wife walked in a service, walked down in front of me, sat down in front of Wanda and I, and inside of me said, "It ain't even doing them any good to be a church." And I thought, why would I think anything so bad about a person? The whole time, it was the Holy Ghost in me trying to tell me. Well, instead of listening to that, I didn't. Ended up getting involved with these people and ended up just a mess anyhow. If I would have listened, that would have never happened. From that day, I learned. I learned. That was God talking to me. And I learned. Because over time, I learned this. Just be patient. Over time, it's going to prove whether this was right that I got an intuition or not. I'll tell you what, I very seldom ever miss it. If I wait. So I just encourage you to wait. So I can sit and tell you stories and stories about this stuff and tell you, and this is all for your help. That's why I don't think things in the natural is the easy way to do it. It's the hard way you're going to miss it most of the time. The safe way is listening on the inner man. That's why you want to develop, because that's your safety. Your inner man is after God and wants to follow God. And the Holy Spirit Himself is in union with Him, talking to Him and communing with Him. That's where we need to be listening, on the inside. Because the outside, there's too many things that can change and too many things that can, you know, sound good, look good, turn out not to be good. I've seen things I thought didn't look good and turn out to be good, turn out to be right. You don't know. You gotta, that's why you gotta listen on the inside. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father.